I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Pretty tough to forget the Buena Vista Social Club. The album brought several aging Cuban musicians out of retirement and gave them new careers. The music was also a stark reminder for Americans of the musical riches on the island of Cuba and what we'd been missing. It became a huge hit for World Circuit Records, the British label that produced the album. But the Buena Vista Social Club recording was an accident of sorts. It was actually supposed to be something else altogether. Well, that something else has finally happened. Here's The World's Marco Werman.
The opening chords provided by Cuban guitarist Eliades Ochoa are all you need to be transported back to 1996 and Buena Vista Social Club. But the first time Nick Gold, the head of World Circuit Records, heard those distinctly Cuban sounds wasn't in Cuba. Years before he produced Buena Vista Social Club, he heard Cuban music in Bamako, the capital of Mali in West Africa.
There's a club in Bamako that I remember called Akwaba Bar, which is a tiny little outdoor club where older musicians, all Mali musicians, would play exclusively Cuban music. And you'd just sit there, you know, in the night under the warmth, listening to this just sublime music. And listening to that, you can start hearing a dream of a different sort of music, or a combination of the two that, you know, in order to hear again, we'd have to record it.
The dream Nick Gold heard soon began to take shape. He reserved 2 weeks at Havana's famed Egrem recording studios. He appointed an all-star lineup of Cuban musicians like Eliades Ochoa, and from Mali, artists like the talented Ngoni player Basika Kouyaté, kora virtuoso Toumani Diabaté, and lightning-fast guitarist Djelimari Tunkara were all set to get on a plane to Havana. But then something happened, or didn't happen.
The Malians sent their passports over to Burkina Faso, a neighboring country of Mali, to get their Cuban visas, and the passports never came back in time. So the Malians didn't show. So instead, we improvised together with Rai Kuda, who produced the record. We eventually came out with Buena Vista Social Club.
It wasn't the project Nick Gold and World Circuit originally wanted, but the success of Buena Vista wasn't a bad thing, not for World Circuit or the musicians involved. Buena Vista Social Club became a phenomenon, a brand. But the original concept of a meeting between Malian and Cuban musicians with a lot of cultural overlap stayed with Nick Gold. And the musicians who had been set to be part of the original lineup were also still hot on the idea.
All over the years, when I'd meet Eliades, I'd meet Djelimari, and I'd meet Basika, all three of them would always talk about it. When are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? And then finally, there was just this opportunity sprang in front of us, whereby I was told that in both Eliades' band and Basika's band had a week off in Madrid during a European tour. So, you know, the musicians were sitting there, and I thought, okay, let's just try. We got everyone into this one-room studio, and I mean, right from the top, the first song we did was a guajira called El Viva Mi Careta, which I'd heard versions of in Mali. So Eliades, you know, counted off the tune and started singing it. His band fell in, and it was sublime right from the first moments. The balafon sat in there bubbling away beautifully. Djelimari brought in another riff which just sat perfectly with Eliades. Basika was playing a bass and goni, which sort of gave it a driving throb underneath, and Toumani sparkling away on the core. It was just, you know, just sitting there going, yeah, it works. It was just wonderful.
Think that it was advantageous to not do this for another, 16 years.
Yeah, I think in the end, I think it was an advantage, because if we'd done it as we'd originally conceived, it would have really been a Cuban record with Malian soloists on it, partly because we didn't have a singer from Mali on the original list, which meant that our repertoire would have been very limited. But also, over the years, listening to Mali and Baseku, you become aware of how creative they are and how they can adapt to other musics and what they can contribute and how open they are. So it's sort of, we broadened the palette, basically. So, we knew that a lot more was possible.
A lot more was possible because of the wait. Nick Gold says both the Cubans and Malians were exceedingly open to trying new things with each other's classics. Guantanamera closes the album that is cleverly titled Afro-Cubism. It's just Eliades Ochoa, Baseku Kuyate, and Tumani Jabate on the song. And it's Guantanamera like you've never heard it.
Three musicians, Eliades, Baseku and Tumani, they sat very, very closely together in the studio. I'm afraid of that song because of its connotations and how it can come across as something anthemic and we all clap along. But it's actually a very beautiful song. And we spoke about it before to try and get them to just hint at it rather than steam in and play the song. And I love the spaciness on that track.
Afro-Cubism will undoubtedly make a lot of critics' best of 2010 lists, and not just because it's a great collection of songs. Afro-Cubism feels like something that's long overdue has finally arrived, triumphantly. For The World, I'm Marco Werman.